A következő műsor megtekintése 16 éven aluliak számára nem ajánlott.
The group in 1987. So we've been together for a long time and we've made 16 albums.
Something like that.
16, 17.
And yeah, for the last 15 or so years we've been touring constantly in Europe, like twice a year, and America and Australia. So yeah, we've been together for a long time.
When we met and formed the band, we were primarily playing a lot of modern jazz music together, but at the same time we were also involved in different projects, playing rock music, and we were interested in lots of different musics. And I guess one reason the band was formed was we were interested in pursuing some musical ideas that weren't being satisfied in the ensembles that we were playing in, whether that was in the jazz world or the rock world. And we were all at different points studying at the conservatorium in Sydney, so that's kind of the background of sort of why we started the band and what we sort of set out to explore in the band.
I think I was the one that was most influenced. I play the bass, and when I was about 17 my bass teacher played me Steve Reich's Music for 18 Musicians, and that really affected me. I'd never heard music like that. It was about another 7 years till we formed, actually about another 9 years till we formed the next, but I think I was very much mindful of that. But Chris and Tony have both said that the contemporary minimalist composers weren't such an influence on them. I think I was the one that was mostly hit by that.
Thank you. We don't plan what we're going to play, but I think we've done it for so long, and when we formed the group, I think we were like-minded in what we wanted to achieve, what we wanted to do, that something that is in essence the next is always there when we play. So in terms of, do we structure a concert verbally beforehand, we don't. We just walk out and we play. And I think we hit upon this idea quite early on, and we've been kind of adding to it and thinking about it since then. But, you know, we can listen to recordings of what we did in the 80s, and they're still, they could be something that we might play tonight, for instance.
In the studio, we do talk about what we want to do, and whether that's very vague, like in terms of the last record was dense and fast. Maybe we feel like doing something contrasting to that, and use the studio as a tool, in a way, taking advantage of what that has to offer. And that, in a way, is much the same as we take advantage of a room that we're playing in a live concert and see what that has to offer. But they are very different processes, in a sense. Thank you. I think it's great that people kind of find uses for the music sometimes in a very practical way, but it's also, people tell us that the music has played quite a big role in different aspects of people's lives, like childbirth, or help them get through long periods of study even, or when they're at university or something like that. I think it's sort of a testament that the music is sort of, we are reaching people on some level or multiple levels, and that's kind of something we're really, quite grateful and proud of, I guess, in a way.
But we have no control over it, obviously.
Totally, yeah.
You know, we don't make the music for any criteria except our own instincts as artists. And then what people choose to do with it is entirely up to them. And we're, as Tony says, we're always very gratified when we hear of people using our music in a way that's very significant in their lives. And that's always wonderful. But we can't try to anticipate that. We're not going to try and do an album to fit a particular role in people's lives. It's up to the audience to make those choices.
one thing that's quite significant is we put aside periods of time to tour and we make the most of that time. I think one danger we could have fallen into, or the bands might fall into when they all live in the same city and they see each other all the time, you kind of don't use time that productively, or it can slip away, or you do a gig here and there and maybe the energy peters out. So we really take advantage of the times that we're together. And it also means we have times apart where we get involved in different projects and we come back with renewed energy for the next. And also there's a sort of, we're active in different scenes, and so we can kind of use that those connections to like take advantage of that for the band. So it's all worked out quite well, even though when I first left and I moved to Japan first, there was a bit of a moment where like, well, what does this mean for the band? Maybe it's over, but actually I think it might have been the saving grace and why the band has such a longevity of being together for 28 or 29 years.
Tony's been very humble because for a long time he set up most of the tours that we did in Europe. So he was our man on the ground here in Europe, living here since 1993. We did our first tour in 1998 in Europe, and we've been coming here ever since. And coming from Australia, I mean, it's really easy for people to forget about Australia. It's a long way away, and quite often a band will tour somewhere else in the world and they might get a really good response, but then it's very hard to sustain it. So to have someone here all the time, and then people say, well, but how do you rehearse? And we did our rehearsing in 1987. You know, it's an improvised group. We don't need to rehearse anymore. There's no repertoire that we need to keep up to date. So we meet up in a city somewhere in the world, and the next night we're on stage playing, and it's like nothing's changed. And it works really well for us. And of course, also modern technology with communications has made it so much easier. When we first started touring, we were doing everything by fax, and even that seemed pretty fantastic. Now with email and the internet, it's made it even easier for us.
Thank you.
when we discussed what we were going to call the band, you rang me up?
Yeah, I had a suggestion.
Yeah.
And you got in first, and I thought the next was better than my suggestion. But in retrospect, it is still a better suggestion than the one I had. But in retrospect, I think what's really good about the name is that it's never gone out of fashion, because it's not the sort of name that would ever have any connection with being in or out of fashion. It's above fashion, so it will never sound dated because it's not relevant to any particular time or style.
And I think we're very lucky, because I mean the exponential growth in band names. You can't call a group something like The Next anymore. I mean, so we were very lucky to that hadn't been taken at that point.
Also, a bit like the music, despite our best efforts to make something that just stands on its own without any particular connotations, people have come up and found sort of their interpretations, that they some significance to the name, that
which is all valid.
It's all valid. It's great. Like it's a central part of the body, or it's the part that joins the body to the head, or all sorts of things. Or sticking in, puns that journalists make. I don't know. So it does have this thing that it means things to different people, different things to different people. But to us, it's just like a sort of a moniker to hang the band.
Just an identifier,
yeah.
A distinctive identifier. A word everyone knows, but no one ever thinks of it in plural, in isolation, with the definite article in front of it.